This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Follow the show on Instagram at Jocks Roundtable.
Boy, it's been a long week, I think.
Really?
I don't know. I've had a speaking engagement last night and just seemed like a long week to me.
Oh, you need to manage your schedule.
Named one thing.
I know. He named one. I got a speaking engagement on a Thursday.
It's exhausting.
On this shift, man, you get out of that zone one time.
I kind of agree with
you. Does it not feel like a long week?
Yeah. It's been a quick month, though. I mean, we're almost out of February.
Long week, but a quick month.
You know, when I decide to have no alcohol months, it's February. It's why I choose February. I'm kidding. That's your line forever, right?
I've done it twice.
Yeah. But you choose February because of 28 days, but it's 29 this year.
Typically, February, there's not a lot going on. But, you know, unfortunately now, Super Bowl is in February, and we have, I mean, one of the most anticipated heavyweight fights we've, you know, seen in the last 20, 25 years.
Speaking of that fight.
Well, that's why I asked you if you were flying to Vegas as you walked in, because I wanted to know, are we still gathering at your house for the fight?
That is the plan. You know, I do have some friends that are out in Vegas right now for the fight. That ticket continues to go up. I saw where it is the highest ticket demand of 2020 so far.
How much is it? What's a get-in?
A get-in's like $1,600.
How many people will be there?
18,000.
At MG, is MGM? Is that where it is? So
is that an outdoor rink?
No.
Okay.
Rink. They're not playing hockey. Hell?
Sorry.
Just change a letter. Go K to G.
601, 52 seconds. Mark it down.
Long week. I had a speaking engagement last night.
No, I was going to tell Lance, though.
Ring. Outdoor ring.
Coming up later on in the show, Tyson Fury had to give something up for this fight. And when you hear what he gave up, it was hard for him to give it up.
Why do you set Lance up to just start answering that off the top of his head?
Well, he's not going to. We're good. But
you realize Tyson Fury 2 years ago, when he was contemplating killing himself.
Oh, I never knew that. Was he battling depression or something?
He's battling depression. He was 400 pounds.
Are you serious? Because he's 270 for this fight.
Yeah. Look, and he's a big dude. I mean, he's 6'9". You know, we talked to Reese Davis about it the other day, and I said, you know, when you met Tyson Fury, is this the biggest guy you've ever met? And then he brought up Shaquille O'Neal.
No, because I met Shaq, yeah.
But, I mean, Tyson, I mean, these are two big dudes. Deontay is 6'7", and, you know, for pound, you know, one of the best proportioned athletes you'll see out there.
Yeah.
Tyson Fury's got the tire over the drawer, so it looks a little different. But, he is legitimate. You know, 6'9", he's going to fight at 272. He's a big dude.
But I watched, you know, that series. I don't know. I mean, it seems like it's on three different channels and three different series. But all of a sudden, Saturday, I'm watching, and Fury's working out, and he's in unbelievable shape, and he peels off his shirt, and his trainer is
some people can't have a body.
Yeah, that's what he said. His trainer's like, don't let these things fool you. He's in a great shape. And he started flattening out his breast.
Okay, well, where you had his hand, your hand.
Well, he's taller than I am, Brown.
But
he's doing his love handles. Yeah. He was making them jiggle.
Look, Tyson Fury's one of those guys that doesn't care. And this guy is worth millions and millions of dollars. And he's going to be worth, you know, he's going to double his net tomorrow night. Mm. But, I mean, that's got to be frustrating to work out that much and be unable to get into shape.
Yeah, it really does. Now, they're guaranteed, like you said, $5 million. How much do you think they'll make?
That's it?
They're guaranteed $5 million, but they'll make off the pay-per-view much more than that I was reading.
Yeah, so they're going to get a percentage of the pay-per-view. This is going to be, there's a chance it will be one of the top five all-time gates in Vegas history.
This is amazing to me. Do you remember?
I can't tell you how excited I am about this fight, though.
It's heavyweight, and are they both unbeaten?
No, he's beaten Fury.
No, they're unbeaten.
I thought he'd already beaten Fury.
No, they had one draw.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Fury actually, point wise, Fury actually outboxed him.
No rematch.
It was two knockdowns.
What great movie is that from? Rocky. I mean, Rockstar.
Rocky.
Ding.
It's been a long week.
Which Rocky was it, though?
The original.
Yeah, very good.
OG.
That's interesting to me because I don't know if you guys remember this. About probably 2 years ago, Verno was on the show. And this was right after, I think, Wilder had won, maybe. And he said, I don't even know who the – and Verno follows a little boxing. I don't even know who the heavyweight champion of the world is right now. And we said, it's Deontay Wilder. Oh, yeah? Yeah, that was his reaction. I mean, this guy was a complete unknown.
But he only had a slice of it, though, Brown.
But even as a belt holder was a complete unknown.
Yeah. Well, that's why, you know, some of the other divisions were what were – you know, kind of viewed as the bar in boxing for a long time. I mean, you saw what, obviously, Floyd Mayweather was able to do for years, Canelo Alvarez. I mean, you've had great fighters, but now we've got two guys. And if you watched the fight December 1st, 2018, I mean, it was one of the best fights I've ever seen.
Yeah, I've not seen you this excited for a fight in a while.
I can't wait. And I think a lot of people, and maybe we do a poll question on this, how many people will just watch the fight? I bet 80% of our audience will watch the fight.
Oh, I'm going to say you're wrong. I'm going to say we'll be lucky if we get to 65%.
No. 80%? That's 80%. A lot. Yeah. Lance, that's a lot.
Rockstar, first of all, will you watch a fight?
No. Absolutely not.
First of all, it's pay-per-view. It's pay-per-view to begin with.
So I got XFL tomorrow, man.
So just on our show right here, of the four of us that are in here right now.
That's 75%.
No, I'm borderline. No,
he is always borderline on anything that happens after 8:30.
You told me a couple of days ago you were coming over tomorrow night.
I did, yeah. But then I thought you were going to Vegas, too. So then I thought it was off. So in my mind, I wasn't coming over. So now I got to get redialed back in to come to your house. It's been a long week for Dunaway.
Don't come over. What's your other option?
Sleep.
Yeah.
What time's the fight? You said at 10. Can you promise me it starts at 10? It's not going to be 11?
No way it starts at 10.
I know.
It will be 10 o'clock. I think there's four or five undercards, and I've got something planned. You know, we do the boards.
Uh-huh.
Right. I've got something planned that we'll have a lot of fun with tomorrow night.
Okay. What time should we arrive?
Well, I mean, for the undercards, I think 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll probably be there.
Okay. So I heard Tessitore,
Can I just say, I've got to run this. This is the first time maybe in 20 years I've ever said this. I've got to run this by my wife. And is it okay if she comes?
Yes.
Whoa.
You saw me. I didn't know if it was guys only. I didn't know if we had. You know, there was a time in LT. What did you
Dunaway, used to call I'm it? Having ring girls tomorrow night.
That's what I'm saying. what did you used to call it? The LT's lower. I call it
lower gym.
Club LT is closed. It's out of business.
So Club LT back in the day.
Now maybe we reopen tomorrow night. I don't know.
I mean, we could have come over and it would have been all guys, and we had bartenders and waitresses from a local establishment. That wouldn't have been out of the norm 10 years ago.
She's very welcome. So I heard Joe Tessitore yesterday on Dan Levitard's show, and he's been doing – he moderated what now they're not going to have the face-to-face weigh-in.
Yeah, because they got too violent yesterday at the interview.
Stupid. That's so staged. Why do they try to –
It wasn't yesterday, Brandon. It was not.
I do think they got a little chippy. I don't think they need to really sell this fight because I think it's selling itself. I think there's a ton of buzz for it. But anyway, Tessitore was on the show yesterday. I think what's ironic about that is a lot of the guys on Levitard dog out Tessitore. I don't know if you guys listen that much, if you've ever heard that.
Well, they hit him for Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
But I think Tessitore...
I think he makes everything over the top.
I think his best sport is boxing. The first time I ever met him was actually in Philadelphia, Mississippi. Tony Curry and I were doing a show down there years ago, and ESPN was doing like a Tuesday night boxing.
Who was the fight? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
One of the greatest Tuesday night cards of all time.
I remember PR for ESPN coming up and said, hey, will you have our guy Joe Tess on?
Who?
And I was like, who? But we had him on, and he had way too much energy back then. It hasn't changed.
Yeah.
It is the southern city of brotherly love.
Philadelphia, Mississippi.
Rockstar loves him.
Ring the Liberty Bell.
Love the whole crew.
He is way over
If we could just get Booger tomorrow night ringside.
You got to think he'll be there.
He don't want to take this punch here, Joe Tess.
He doesn't want to stay down for 10 counts. He wants to get up here.
He wants to land this punch.
Now, okay. What do you think our percentage of listeners that actually would take a punch from Deontay?
Oh, you're dead.
No, well, here's my thing. You get $500,000 cash.
No.
$500,000?
No, God, you're risking your life.
Yeah. I want the whole $5 million they're getting.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd take it. I wonder what our percentage was. I bet it'd be 50-50.
It's got to have at least two commas.
You can go listen to Three Man Front's podcast. And what's D's first name?
Tommy D's.
Tommy, no, his brother.
Jay.
Jay D's. D's. Yeah, the trainer.
The trainer for Deontay Wilder.
Thought you were setting me up for a joke.
How do you like these, Brown? JD's.
Does sound like it.
JD's is the trainer for Deontay Wilder from Tuscaloosa. And he was on with Three Man Front. And Cole asked him about sparring partners. And he said, I cannot tell you how many guys we've taken to DCH in Tuscaloosa. And we're talking about 20-pound gloves with headgear on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we've had to take him. So
and those guys know how to take a punch. You don't know how to take a punch.
You know, and even back in Tyson, and you know, one of the more amazing things for a lot of our young listeners is they didn't watch Tyson growing up. We all did. and just his stopping power and his domination for, you know, a good 18 months to 2 years, I still think Wilder might actually have a bigger punch than Tyson.
I think people have agreed on that now, that he's the biggest puncher we've ever seen.
Yeah, and that's what scares me about tomorrow night. You know, I do think Fury's going to win this fight, but you just never know with Wilder's power.
Okay, let's do a couple of poll questions. One, will you watch the fight? We'll just make it.
Yeah, it's very easy there.
Very 80, simple. 80%, buddy.
No, there's no way.
80%.
You'll be lucky to get 68.
Oh, I don't think it'll be that high.
Yeah.
I think you're going to be way underwhelmed at this, Lance. How many people are not willing to pay for this? $80?
Okay, nothing is going on tomorrow, right?
Well, there isn't, but
Alabama's got a bubble game, though, right?
That's what Paul says. I will watch it, but it'll be after my scheduled torture watch in Oxford.
You'll take the beating and then watch the beating.
Yeah. And the second poll question is, I'm in that unique situation, daughter at college, son out of town. The wife and I have this entire weekend together, and we're debating doing several things.
You can only chase her for so long around the house.
Or doing nothing.
Right.
Right? So my poll question there would be, should the plan be just to go to LT's? Maybe do the brewery tour in town all day Saturday and then Uber over to LT's?
You'll never make it if you do that.
Yeah. It's a lone poll question. Should Dunaway do the brewery tour then go to LT's? Yeah.
Head will be on pillow by 8 o'clock if you do that.
Should Maggie let Dunaway go watch the fight? Make it that simple.
Should we tag her in the polls?
Last week you were at a marital retreat, right?
Yeah. I know.
You've earned this.
As you said,
give to get.
As you said, LT, ask Maggie to reach into her purse and hand them back to me. That was you. That was your quote last week.
Hey, tell her to unpack.
Yeah,
unpacking.
Unpacking. Yeah.
You listen. I try to retain.
You're such a good student.
I try.
All right. All those poll questions. Cowan.com. Cowan Equipment. I'm not even sure it's Cowan Equipment.
Yeah. Cowan.com. 1938. Family owned and operated. Check them out. Long night for me,
guys. We got 3.5 more hours.
It's gonna be tough.
Hey, Steve Sarkisian, staying in Tuscaloosa, biggest story maybe this offseason. Have I already called another bigger story this offseason for Alabama yet? I know for Auburn, Chad Morris becoming the OC was the biggest offseason story.
No.
I think this is the biggest.
Bryce Young?
Well, he's already here.
Well, it's still offseason.
Yeah, but if you asked Alabama fans, would you rather have Bryce Young sign or Steve Sarkisian stay for another year?
But that happened. That already happened.
No, I'm just saying. If you asked, though, what do you think people would say?
I think Bryce Young's happiness and Steve Sarkisian staying may be one and the same. This was a huge deal, and he withdrew his name, Sarkisian did, from the Colorado search yesterday. They still haven't announced a new coach. And he's going to become the highest paid coordinator. And what's the numbers you guys are hearing? I heard like $2.5 million
a
year.
That's insane.
Yeah, I've heard $2.5 million, which, it's a crazy number. Look, I mean, they had the second top scoring offense just behind LSU at 47.2 points per game last year. But I would ask you guys, is there not a lot of coordinators that could have put that offense at 47 points per game?
There are, but as I would point out, if I'm Steve Sarkisian, I'm the one that did it. And it's the best offense in Alabama history. So in a sense, I think sometimes we undervalue what he did. I mean, this is a little bit like Eric Spoelstra as the coach of the Heat, right? Lance, there are a lot of guys that could have taken Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron James and won world championships with them.
Okay, so I thought for a minute, Brent Venables was the highest paid assistant coach in college football. I think Kevin Steele's the guy now, right?
I think so, yes.
And I think Sarkisian might be 2 and Venables might be 3 now.
For the time being, I'm sure Venables will get a raise.
Is that pretty amazing that we've got the 2 highest paid assistant coaches right here in state?
Well, what I was hearing yesterday, they're going to make him the highest paid coordinator.
That was the deal, basically, if you stay, we'll make you the highest paid.
Well, Steele just got a new 3-year contract that made him the highest paid. Now, maybe yesterday, Sarkisian trumped that.
Yeah, so we'll see. I haven't seen the numbers yet. If you have, let me know. But I was hearing it was going to be the highest paid coordinator in college football. If you're wondering why this is so important, and yes, I was debating on Twitter yesterday with people like, well, he had the greatest quarterback and these great receivers. You know, if we lose him, it's no big deal. And I was disagreeing with that because it is a big deal for Bryce Young and the familiarity, but also Coach Saban's comfort. Here's Nick Saban last August before the season. And there was nothing that happened during the season that would make this change. Here's Nick Saban last August on why he was happy to have Sarkisian back and how good it was going in camp.
Well, I've always had a lot of respect for Sark. very well organized. He does a good job with the players. He's a good teacher. He's got a really good personality. He's easy to work with. I think he does a great job of managing the staff. You know, Sark did a really good job when he was here before, and I've been very pleased with the job that he's done since he's been here.
That's back in August. Great personality, organized, good with the staff. Those are three things that rings Nick Saban's bell, man.
So a lot of people criticize Sark for that first loss to Clemson when Kiffin got basically punted at the last minute and Sark took over. And I've always thought he probably won a lot of Nick Saban's respect in that situation. Yeah. Because you're an analyst, you're just hanging out, and you were prepared. Now, look, you could criticize his play calling. He had a quarterback that was struggling to complete passes. It's kind of hard to call plays with that situation.
And if I remember correctly, they lost the big running back, right?
Yeah, Scarborough went out hurt. Yeah, Scarborough had started the game well and went out hurt.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, there were a lot of factors in that. But, Lance, I would imagine Saban, it had to get a lot of his respect for Sarkisian to take that situation over and even have you in a position where your defense is back out on the field with the lead with 2 minutes to go.
Well, maybe. But, I mean, that's what Sarkisian does. He's an offensive guy. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, but he wasn't even... I mean, he was an analyst.
If you go to a comedy club and the headliner gets sick and goes out, I mean, the next guy steps up and is still going to tell you jokes. I mean, that's what they do.
They do, but... Like, if you're, I don't even know what an example to use. I don't know an example to use, but I mean, he's an analyst. He's not thinking I'm going to call plays in the national championship game. And a week before, hey, by the way, you're calling plays in the national championship game against one of the best defenses in college football on the biggest stage in college football. I mean, I probably earned a lot of respect for Nick Saban.
And he took a lot of heat when it didn't
go
well.
But, you know, what would be interesting if you asked Nick Saban his most important assistant on that staff, do you think it would be Sarkisian?
Well, he wouldn't answer that.
I know he wouldn't answer it. I'm just saying if you really got an honest answer, though, somehow.
I would say it's whoever is considered the best mix between recruiting and coaching.
How about this? Who's been his most important assistant during his run the entire
Kirby
time?
Kirby Smart.
I would say Kirby Smart.
I think Lane Kiffin's way up there, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they probably didn't see eye to eye a lot, but...
Burton Burns is way up there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, those offenses under Lane Kiffin were really good. So I would imagine he's got to be pretty far up there, but it's got to be Kirby Smart.
That's
Lance.
Why I like Charlie Strong being on this coaching staff too, because he's known for player relationships, and that's something, you know, even though Burton Burns had moved off the field, he still was a locker room relationship guy. We saw that when we were coaching the A-Day game, and Charlie Strong is going to be, you know, vital in that locker room relationship role.
Yeah.
I will tell you this, and I see this tweet from Paul, and I don't understand why he says this, but he says Alabama paying their offensive coordinator almost the same as their head basketball coach. Pathetic is the way he ends that.
Well, listen.
Why is that pathetic?
Alabama's offensive coordinator just had the best offense in school history. If you let Nate Oates have the
Bama's
best...
on the bubble, on the bubble.
If you let Nate Oates... have the best season in Alabama basketball history, which I don't even know what that is. It would involve at least going to the Elite Eight, right? I guarantee you he's making more than $2.5 million. Wouldn't you agree? Like next year, if Nate Oates takes Alabama, let's say he takes him to the Elite Eight next year for purposes of this discussion, what do you think his raise is?
Elite Eight next year?
Yeah.
Nate Oates is getting $1 million on top of what he's making now. Right, he's making $3.5 million a year.
There you go. $3.5 to $4 million.
Yeah, because what you don't want, I mean, Alabama's not viewed as a basketball school. The one thing you don't want is to finally get what you view is a coach that can have longevity and success and get him to take another job.
That's right. Him, they'll lose him. Yeah.
$2.45 million is what Nate makes. So
Auburn has controlled Bruce Pearl the exact way they need to.
Yep.
By the way, I think Sark's going to be making more than your head basketball coach. I think it's been north of 2.45.
You know what's amazing
million.
In this whole discussion is at one time Mark Gottfried was making more than the football coach.
Yeah, Mark Gottfried was making more than Mike Shula, but at the time probably deserved it.
Yeah, Jason says Coach Burton Burns not even close. Cody says most important has been Scott Cochran. Check the spelling there, Cody. But yes.
He says however you spell it, he took the L right away.
Scott Cochran.
Uh-huh.
Do we forget about Brian Daboll?
Yeah.
It was a joke.
No, I give you an honest answer. Yeah, people forget about him.
Bobby says Lane Kiffin, easily the most important assistant coach in the Saban era. Chris Davis ended the dynasty, and Kiffin kept it going a couple of more years. anybody except Golding could have coached those defenses with all that talent.
Bobby's got to hold on to Chris Davis into the dynasty with his cold, dead hands, isn't he? It's going to be Bobby's rallying cry to the grave.
They've won one since then.
Yes, they've won. They've played said, for other ones.
Cedric, they've won two.
Cedric is driver, most important assistant.
He's pretty huge. Pretty huge.
I mean, that might be Saban's favorite, right?
You got to be a special person. All right, Steve Sarkisian staying at Alabama. That's a big story in football.
And don't put, I mean, I don't know what dollar value Nick Saban would put on staff cohesion because, boy, he has not had a lot of that over the last few years. And with Sark staying, you're only changing one assistant. And it was one, you know, that it felt like you kind of wanted to make that change anyway, right, with Freddie Roach coming in. Only one assistant change, one spot turned over, that is very uncommon of late for the Alabama staff. So if you told Nick Saban, what dollar value do you put it on? It's easily what he gave Sark that raise.
Chris is next with us. Chris, man, Sark is staying in Tuscaloosa. What do you think?
How you guys doing?
Taylor good.
Brown and Dunaway. As you know, I called in yesterday livid the fact that, like, Sark would just, you know, as Taylor said yesterday, that loyalty is clearly not there. I mean, what do I think about him, Gary? Honestly, like, I still don't trust him, honestly. I feel like at some point, he's willing to actually even apply for Colorado when clearly they're not even high on recruiting up there as far as football goes. And even though they're a Power 5 school, the case in point is, like, it's not like you're necessarily going to land a 5-star off the rip up there. And, I mean, I feel like
I mean, you guys, I know. I've no, yeah, I mean, you're off base here, Chris. First of all, I mean, he's a coordinator, so a head coaching job is a big deal. I think it's a huge deal that he's staying and not taking this head coaching job. So yeah, I mean, loyalty is only year to year when you're an assistant coach.
I just don't think this guy can win with you. I don't know what he could do to win with you. He just gave you the best offense in school history.
So,
I mean, what do you want him to do?
I mean, you got one more year of this guy, and then if he goes to be a head coach, he goes to be a head coach. The leaving yesterday would have been, and I agreed with you yesterday, him leaving yesterday would have been a bad look because it's this late in the year. I would have understood it because he'd have been a head coach and would have been getting more money. Alabama said, hey, we're going to make the money even, and he's going to stay for another year. After one more year, I mean, good luck to you.
To me, guys, it's a... It's more so like, what have you really done to really, like, really
the greatest offense in Alabama history.
The best from you.
Alabama's clout.
All right, listen to me. Do you disagree that he had the best offense in Alabama's history last year?
I mean, if you want to go, like, high-powered offenses.
Well, I think that's the way you would measure that. Yeah,
but I'm going to kind of agree here. I think anybody that was calling plays could have averaged 47.
But he was the guy calling them, and he secured, listen to me, he secured the best recruit, ratings-wise, Alabama has ever gotten. So what more do you want him to do?
Tosh LePoy could have gotten that guy.
Okay, but y'all keep telling me who could have done this stuff. He's the guy that
Alabama
did it.
Recruits itself now.
It came down
to USC and Alabama.
And I read
and
to you yesterday.
Are you going to go to the USC situation where you don't know what's going on right now?
I read to you Matt Zenit's story that the dad and Bryce both said Alabama was out of the running until Steve Sarkisian built the bridge back to Alabama. Out of the running. It was word for word from the dead. So he wouldn't have been in Tuscaloosa without Sarkisian.
Well, if he ends up being one of the greatest players in Alabama history, we'll give him credit.
I mean, Paul says that he took a backup quarterback and scored 45 points at Auburn on that defense. Actually, they scored 59. 14 of them went for Auburn. But that offense scored 59 points. 45 of them for Alabama against one of the best defenses in
I think Sarkisian, a very average head coach. I think he's a really good offensive coordinator. But my point is, I think there's a lot of OCs out there that could have had this type of success with all of these weapons.
And I don't disagree with that. But again, he was the one that did it. I just don't understand a guy that just gave you the best offense in school history and secured the highest rated player you've ever recruited. I mean, I don't know what more people would want him to do. What do you want him to do?
I don't think he necessarily deserves to be the highest paid assistant in college football.
Well, I mean, the timing of it makes it work. You know, I'm going to go to Colorado.
Yeah, but if I'm just telling you,
well, who does,
list your top five assistants. I mean, Brent Venables deserves more money than Steve Sarkisian.
Okay, he coached an NFL offensive line last year. Anybody could have coached them. Who couldn't coach them?
Kevin Seale, $2.5 million. You would agree he's earned every penny of that at all.
But no, I think the way you're looking at it, Lance, Derrick Brown and Marlon Davidson, who couldn't coach those guys?
Okay. Yeah, but he brought them in.
I'm making that point.
To me, if I've got Sarkisian and Joe Brady at 31 on a cliff and I've got to push one over, Sark's going over.
Yeah, but you would not have said the same thing this time last year.
No, you're right.
And there is a chance that you may not say it this time next year.
Maybe
Brady had stayed in Baton Rouge.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
But we've never – I've seen really good Alabama offenses.
I've never seen
what we saw last year in Baton Rouge.
By your argument, Kevin Steele and Brent Venables don't deserve the money they're getting. That by your argument, Lance.
Well, Brent Venables had that defensive line 2 years ago. He didn't have it last year. That was still a top 10 defense.
What, they're not going to get guys drafted off this defense, though?
Well, yeah, they will. But it wasn't their best defense. But this was the best offense in Alabama history, and I don't think it was because of Steve Sarkisian.
I tell you what, Brent Venables in the national championship game didn't look like he deserved that money.
They did not. Bobby says, I've been telling you guys for years that Colorado isn't that good of a job. It's not that big a deal that Sark turned down that head coaching job to stay at Alabama with all the talent they have coming back. I had made that point leading into yesterday that if Sark hangs around one more year, he may get a better job. I think you guys say that he may not get a better opportunity than Colorado.
Well, who represents Sark? Is it safe to say that it's our man, Jimmy?
West Coast guy, probably not.
Okay, well, whoever it was, maybe Sark was listening to the roundtable a week ago when we threw his name out, and maybe he made that call to the agent and said, hey, float my name to Colorado, knowing that he was never going to leave and just have this leverage and get this raise.
I mean, as Jeremy points out, Lance, if he becomes the highest paid assistant in college football, if the fact that Saban thinks that much of him, shouldn't that speak volumes?
Oh, look, yeah, I don't have a problem with this. Yeah. I mean, good for Sark, good for Alabama. I'm just saying, if you're listing the top five coordinators in college football, I don't think anybody would put Sarkisian in that list.
Which offensive guys would you put in front of him now that Joe Brady's gone?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'd have to think about it.
I mean, you like Graham Harrell. You wouldn't put Graham Harrell in front of him, would you?
No, I mean, just not enough experience.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even really know. Like, it's easier for me to do the best defensive coordinators right now than offensive coordinators.
Yeah, I would agree.
Gary Uberstein is who I'm listing as Sark's agent.
You're making names up. Uberstein?
You think Uberstein doesn't sound like the name? His assistant is.
It's like one of those Facebook things. Your first name, the last car you were in. That's Gary Uberstein.
David Lift is his assistant.
And you were on fire.
He is, isn't he?
It is 7:42. I forget what I teased here.
Do you work on new material just in case we ever have this bracket challenge again?
Somebody brought that up to me the other day. They were at your show, Nunaway.
I thought it was a pretty good show.
They said that. They were like,
for 6 or 7 minutes.
Best 7 minutes of a 45-minute show ever.
They said Dunaway was way better than I thought he would be. And they were also blown away that you sold the place out.
No, I was going to say, I've been to Larry the Cable Guy that had less people at the comedy club.
I know. I could not believe Dunaway sold out the comedy club.
We have a lot of great listeners.
Yep.
That's what it comes down to. Hey, Mike Stoops not on the coaching staff anymore in Tuscaloosa. I don't know if you missed that earlier this week. He is in Kentucky, where he'll be on the field coaching secondaries with his brother.
Good for him. And Butch Jones got a promotion to special assistant to the head coach yesterday. So they've kind of cleaned out the analyst room, haven't they?
Special assistant to the head coach. That's still off the field, though.
It is off the field.
Yeah. Hey, developing news from college football. Eric Bieniemy has taken his name out of the Colorado head coaching job. I really thought this has already happened. He was going to be the favorite. We'd stopped talking about Eric Bieniemy this week because I thought he was already out of it.
Well, this shows me Colorado's hired somebody, though, right?
That's
because Sark last night or yesterday and Bieniemy today. So normally when guys start taking their names out, that's their way of saying we've hired somebody. Brett Bielema has not publicly taken his name out, so I wonder if it's him.
So Troy Calhoun, Brett Bielema.
Yeah, I hope it's Troy Calhoun, just to see him get that opportunity.
He almost got an NFL job, didn't the Cowboys, or the Broncos? The Broncos were, at least his name was in the mix. I think he might have interviewed for it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he'd have to change his offensive style, or would he?
Yeah.
Bieniemy says what we've said all along about him. Too good of a situation in Kansas City to leave now, he tells what looks like Mila Kunis, but it's Mike Kliss on Twitter.
You're not
I see the M and the K, and I just think Mila Kunis. Mila Kunis.
Wow, good God.
Too good of a situation in Kansas City to leave now, especially when he'll be a prime NFL head coaching candidate again this season.
I can just imagine doing the interview with Mila Kunis. I'm thinking my name out of the Kansas City. Okay, I'll report that.
Mina Kunis. Kunis. Mina.
Who's the top offensive coordinators in college football? People say we're not giving Sark enough credit, and then some think Brown and me are giving him too much credit. Brown, if I asked you some of the big names offensive coordinators in college football, who would they be?
It's hard not to go with Tony Elliott and Jeff Scott at Clemson, right? I mean, they just continue to have good offense. I mean, that team's just good all around. So I don't know how you avoid, and I don't know, Jeff Scott just got a head coaching job, so I'm assuming he gets most of the credit for that. You know, Ryan Day, part of the problem is like Ryan Day, you would consider him his own offensive coordinator. So he's the head coach at Ohio State, but I got to put him in that discussion. Same with Lincoln Riley, right?
And Dan Mullen.
Same with Dan Mullen, if you want to include him. Maybe the same with Josh Heupel. Does Heupel call his own plays at Central Florida?
He does, yeah.
Okay.
So, Mike Leach, you got to put him in there. He calls his own plays.
So all those guys call their own plays.
Jimbo Fisher.
Right. So it really gets, you know, I mean, once you get through all those guys, I think those are your best offenses right now.
Ironically,
Sark is among that group, one of the few actual offensive coordinators.
Ironically, going into last year, Saturday Down South ranked the best offensive coordinators going into 2019. And Riley, Cutcliffe of Duke, Mullen, Mike Leach, Fisher, Scott Frost, all head coaches were 1 through 6.
Fisher's overrated.
That's what makes it difficult.
Jeff Brohm, number 7.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot of high-profile offensive coordinators that aren't actually head coaches now.
Right.
The guy who was number 8 actually got fired. Chip Long of Notre Dame was number 8 going into the year, got fired. Chip Kelly is 9. Mike Norvell, Florida State, is 10. Gus is now giving up play calling at 11. Kendall Briles, the next guy on the Saturday Down South list, and he's now at Arkansas. I mean, Sark's ahead of him.
I mean, he was at Florida State.
Yeah, Jim Chaney.
Oh, are you serious? How long did it take him to get to Jim Chaney?
14th.
Oh, well, then.
Tony Elliott was 15th.
Oh, they had Tony Elliott behind Jim Chaney?
They did.
What a stupid list.
Dan Enos, who got fired at Miami. David Yost at Texas Tech. I put Sark ahead of him.
Oh, Texas Tech's taking some pretty big steps backwards recently.
Moorhead's now at Oregon.
Yeah.
I would put Sark ahead of him. Andy Ludwig.
Did you skip Sark or they haven't said him yet?
They haven't said him yet. He's 25th on their list going into the year.
Behind Jim Chaney?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm looking at a list from 2019. They got Rich Rod at number 2.
Yeah, Rich Rod at 21 on the Saturday Down South list. You're looking at Athlon there.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard right now. Lance is right because your best offensive coordinators are head coaches. It's way easier for me to do defensive coordinators. Right.
Derek Dooley. Eddie Grant did a heck of a job at Kentucky. But
he was calling plays for a wide receiver playing quarterback most of the year.
Phil Longo at North Carolina. So, I mean, Sark's easily in the top 5.
Yeah.
Easily.
And those guys in that group you named, he is.
Yeah.
Especially if you remove head coaches. If it just has to be a true offensive coordinator, there's no doubt.
Yeah. And that's why Sark was so in such demand at Colorado. But Colorado apparently will have their head coach today because, as we always tell you on the show, when you see people pulling their names out like Eric Bieniemy has done today and Sark did yesterday, that means they have decided on somebody, and that announcement should be coming later today for Colorado. I mean, good, because it's only 190 days away from that week 0 game with Notre Dame and Navy that kicks off the season. Colorado's got to get to work, need a head coach. Lunsford's got 4 downs. It is brought to you by our friends at Vulcan Tires.
4 great locations: Gardendale, Moody, Hoover, and Trustful. Winter weather is here. Make sure your car is properly serviced. Do it with a locally owned and operated Vulcan Tire and Automotive. For more information, VulcanTireAndAuto.com.
First down. All right, who ultimately has the better career in Atlanta, Trae Young or Julio Jones?
I think, you know, if you look at it from this perspective, Julio Jones could go down as the greatest Falcon of all time. I don't see any way Trae Young's viewed better than Dominique Wilkins.
Probably not. That's a good way to look at it. Julio also went to a Super Bowl. I don't think the Hawks
will go to an NBA
even
Finals.
How they restructure will ever get to an NBA Finals. Trae Young is the real deal. What is so weird about this? We remember the incredible season he had at Oklahoma. They go into Coleman's Coliseum against Avery Johnson. It looked like he had blueprinted for Trae Young how to defend him. Trae Young went into one of the biggest funks we've ever seen in the second half of that season.
Yep.
And then he gets drafted. A lot of people didn't believe he was worthy of a lottery selection. He is legitimate a top 15 player right now in the NBA. He's that good. Coming off 50 points.
50 last night, yeah.
You know how many seasons, and I don't even know if this is a good place to count this, how many seasons that Julio's had double-digit touchdown receptions?
Oh, it's probably
one.
Few.
One. 2012, he had 10. Recently, last year, 6. 8.
Give me that yardage total, though.
3, 6, 8, 6, 2, 10, and 8 his whole career. Yards per game, 92.9 last year. His career, he averages 96 yards per game.
That's not bad.
Second down.
All right. Ultimately, who has the better New Orleans career, Zion Williamson or Michael Thomas?
Boy, this is tough. I mean, Zion, small sample size, has been as good as advertised, but Michael Thomas, you know, realistically, might have been your MVP last year. I mean, as good as Lamar Jackson was, I mean, Michael Thomas was incredible. And, you know, all of the doubles that he saw, I mean, that was really the only weapon. Kamara didn't have a good year last year.
Yeah, but Zion is going to be a brand and is going to be the face of a franchise. He's going to carry it. It's got to be Zion.
I think, Lunsford, I don't know if you agree, Michael Thomas might be the best receiver in the NFL right now?
Right now, probably, but it's not.
I mean, because obviously, you know, a couple of years ago we were talking about AB, we were talking about Odell. Those guys are off. I mean, he's better than Julio.
They were
right
off. Julio's getting kind of old now, yeah, so I mean, he's not there.
Yeah. I think Michael Thomas is your guy right now.
Yeah, but can he keep that up for a career long enough to be viewed that long term?
And when Drew Brees is gone.
Yeah, when Drew Brees is gone, especially once you lose a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Year or two at most.
Can Zion stay healthy?
I don't know.
Do you pick Michael Thomas over Tyreek Hill or any of the Chiefs?
Yeah, I mean, Tyreek's got the incredible speed, but yeah, Michael Thomas is a better receiver.
Third down.
And not comparing him against like Travis Kelce and other people who are receivers, but also tight ends. All right, who is at their current job longer? Kevin Steele or Steve Sarkisian?
Oh, great question. Steele just did 3 years, and I don't think he's a young, I don't know how old Kevin is, 64?
I'd say 64.
Let me ask you guys this.
I think this is easy. I think it's 61. Kevin Steele.
61? Oh, yeah.
Even with that ridiculously easy schedule, somehow went 6-6 or 7-5 and got fired this year, do you think whoever comes in would retain Kevin
Steele?
They'd
be idiots not to.
Yeah, they'd want to.
Yeah, I think they'd want to. I mean, some would push for Kevin Steele to be the head coach. I'm not a fan of that.
I think that's the question, Lunsford, because the only way Kevin Steele is going to leave, he's not going to get a head job.
No, I think he's finished as a head coach.
Would be him either retiring or Malzahn gets fired and somebody decides not to retain him. And I agree with you guys. I think whoever comes in, more than likely it would be an offensive guy. Just the trend of head coaches we've got now.
And this guy, he's been coaching since 78. Yeah. He's been coaching my entire life, basically. So
Sark's
that's all he wants to do. I mean, that's all he wants to do. And I agree. I think Sark's trying to get another head coaching job.
It'll be after this year. I mean,
you'd have to think. Yeah.
He came back for one more year deal, and that's it.
Call me lazy, but boy, $2.5 million, I'm not going anywhere. I mean, I'm just going to, because I know I'm always going to have talent.
Coaching the type of talent that's assembled at Tuscaloosa.
But the choice this year is Colorado. What's the choice going to be next year?
I don't care. I mean, even if the choice is
USC.
He's not getting USC again.
You're saying if you're Sark, you'd never leave. Yeah, you'd build a great place on Lake Tuscaloosa, and you'd just enjoy life.
I mean, more than likely, he's going to get a $4 million offer. I would rather have my $2.5 million with, you know, the security that he's going to have in Tuscaloosa.
Fourth down.
I do think he'll be gone after this year. Y'all mentioned the Miracle on Ice 40 years ago tomorrow, so I'll ask, who is the greatest winter Olympian ever?
Brian Boitano.
I don't know if I can name
Bobby Blair.
Is Brian Boitano an ice skater?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I got that.
Who'd you say, Rockstar?
Bonnie Blair.
Speed skater, right?
Oh, no. It would be the Nancy. Who was the...
Kerrigan?
Nancy Kerrigan?
I don't think she won a gold.
There was another Nancy that was a skater.
Nancy...
Nancy Pansy.
Nancy.
She was on a Wheaties box.
Oh, yeah.
Lindsey Vonn.
Kamenichi. Nancy Kamenichi.
No, it was not.
No, sure. Is that not right?
Nancy Kimdichie. Nope.
No.
Ole Miss.
Come on. This was
Nancy. Christy Yamaguchi?
No. Yes. That's who you're thinking of.
This chick was like
that's who I was thinking of. What did I say? Kamaguchi?
Namaguchi.
Is it Nancy Blair?
No.
I don't know.
I think you're wrong about
this. What about Apollo Antonono?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Speed skater. He has the most, I think he has the most medals.
Oh, yeah. Paul, I'm not sure. Yeah. Antono, was that his name?
Apollo Antonono. It's three names. So Apollo Ono.
Apollo Ono.
Yeah, you know, there's not a lot of great winter athletes that stand out, are there?
Mm.
I mean, like, the greatest Olympian of all time is Mike
Dan
Phelps.
O'Brien. Oh.
Oh, Eric Heiden.
What'd he do? Speed skating, right?
Dominated. Back in the day. Old school.
Is this a Winter Olympics year? Are we getting the Winter Olympics this year?
No. Summer in Japan.
Oh, it's Summer Olympics this year?
Every presidential election is always a summer.
Really? Yep. I didn't realize that.
2022 is the next Winter Olympics, Brown.
I can't believe I'm about to do this, but to try to help Lance here, I'm looking for at the list of best figure skaters of all time. It's a slideshow. I'm not going to do it, Lance. I can't deal with a slideshow.
We're going to France in 2022, by the way, for the first time since 1924.
I mean, a lot of people are saying Eric Heiden.
Oh, my friend Mike tells me I got the name wrong. It's Nadia Comaneci. So
Nancy, that's close.
Well, I thought it was Nancy. No, I was thinking of Yamaguchi.
Yamaguchi.
I'm sorry, I confused my figure skaters.
Michelle Kwan.
Nadia Comaneci, Nancy Kerrigan.
And I was wrong. We're going to Beijing in 2022. We're going to have the Winter Olympics in Beijing.
Boy, boy.
It gets kind of cold there.
I mean, like Beijing has become the New Orleans of Olympics. I mean, we were going to Beijing every other year.
Summer was 08.
Lance, you're thinking of Dorothy Hamill, I bet.
Dorothy Hamill. That's it.
That's Shane. Thank you, Shane.
Yeah, I don't know. If
Peggy Fleming, Charles says.
What about the coronavirus? Is that going to... Throw a
hell of a very good
Olympic. Got 2 years to figure it out.
Okay. Yeah,
but no, I think there is dialing back cases now.
But they're worried about it in Japan, and they're saying that is not going to be a problem there.
I mean, would you get on?
It's going to be a problem. Yeah, you don't want to come here.
Would you get on a flight? Would you rather get hit by Wilder or get on a flight to Tokyo and you got to stay for a month over there?
Oof.
I think I'm going to put one of those masks on and I'm going to.
Yeah, I think I'll fight through. I think I'll fight through. Yeah, a lot of Sean White love. We missed the flying tomato there. Him and Apollo Ono.
He was an X gamer.
Olympics. How many Olympic medals?
I don't know.
I think he's got a boatload now because they decided to put an X game in the Olympics, right?
Yeah. Well, I hear coming up in Tokyo in a few months, we're going to have three-man basketball. It's a sport.
Yeah.
Three-on-three?
Yeah, three-on-three.
Hoop it up.
Yep.
They're going to host at the Birmingham Race Course.
So if you could assemble, do you think right now if you got to handpick the three, you could win the gold?
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah. If I could handpick three players.
I mean, because you could go Steph, LeBron, and Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, and I'll let y'all have whoever you want.
Out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, are we not putting three NBA guys?
I would hope.
Are you going to go over there and try to play hoop it up?
They're going to play the normal basketball. There's normal basketball, but then there's three-on-three as well. So it's two different things.
And you can't imagine you play money both. Because then the women are going to be upset because they're not getting paid as much.
I mean, I don't know any of these people that are playing our basketball. Robbie Hummel may be on our team.
Robbie Hummel? What? He's a Big Ten Network
analyst.
He's blown
both knees. Yeah, he can't even walk to the set.
I'm just reading in a press release, returning to defend their crown at the USA Basketball 3-on-3 Nationals.
He can shoot the eyes out of it.
Our aerial slow and steady, which is Robbie Hummel, Damon Huffman, and Kareem Maddox, and their sub is Dan Marverde.
Good Lord. I've only heard of one of them.
I'm taking the field.
Yeah. We ain't winning gold there.
I mean, how are we not putting, like, Steph Clay?
Because they're playing on the main Olympic team, the 5-on-5.
Yeah, we've won that.
Joel Embiid declared himself the greatest player on the planet last night.
Yeah.
Let's just put Embiid out there.
No, he's too slow.
They should get the people who aren't going to be like starters on the 5-on-5 normal team. You're going to take, 15 players?
No, I think
get the next four to be go be.
What would be cool you four players. Is you do a pool of NBA players that agree to do it, and you pay them $1 million each if they win the gold, and you just draw out five random players to be that team. That'd be a made-for-TV event. I would watch that.
I'm told on Twitter Nadia Comaneci was a gymnast.
She was,
Okay. Summer game. I had her figure skating. My bad.
She was like a perfect 10. I thought you knew that.
I was going to say Tom Skerritt.
You know, Summer Olympics, obviously we could go like 40 deep on that, right?
I really don't care. The Olympics don't interest me one bit.
Jesse Owens.
Well, Michael Carl Phelps Lewis, and everybody else.
Michael Phelps.
Charles Barkley.
Ray Charles.
Why did you say Ray Charles?
Because we're just naming random names. Like, actually, this person was not even in the Olympics.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really pay attention.
All right, that is Four Downs brought to you by Vulcan Tires.
Vulcan Tire and Automotive, four great locations, Gardendale, Moody, Hoover, and Trustful. Stop in today, go see the guys, make sure that car is serviced for the winter. For more information, VulcanTireAndAuto.com.
Follow the show on Instagram, @JocksRoundtable.